Think of a song you really love.
Don't you want to know why you love it so much?
Well, we can't answer that.
No, but we can deep dive into it anyway.
Unless we get too sidetracked.
We're the Never Mind the Music podcast.
One musician.
And one psychologist.
Talking about iconic songs. The musical tricks that blow our minds.
And what they show us about our minds.
Join us each week as we pick apart everything from TLC to Weezer.
And from Billie Eilish to Bruno Mars, with plenty of distractions in between.
Check out Never Mind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone. Which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Lorehounds Play. We're the Lorehounds, your guides to pixel-based adventures. I'm John.
I'm Brandon, and this is our eighth The Lorehounds Play podcast, this time for Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Before we get started, quick reminder that you can send feedback to lhp@thelorehounds.com or leave us a voicemail at thelorehounds.com/contact, and we'll get to those questions in the next episode.
Which may be next month, and it may be 6 months from now. You never know with the Lorehounds Play.
With the Lorehounds Play, it is all over the map.
We try. If you're enjoying our coverage of video games or any of the shows we're covering, and you'd like to support us directly, head over to Patreon or Supercast in the link tree below and subscribe today for early and ad-free access to our podcasts, as well as bonus content like Second Breakfast and 11Z's. So, Brandon, we have a rating system for this now. And I want to introduce it again, because we do these podcasts so infrequently that I want to remind people. We do a green light for, we would recommend this game to anyone who likes video games. We do a yellow light for, if you're really into this kind of game or this IP, try it, but maybe not for everyone. And then we have a red light for, this game is bad, don't play it. So we're gonna do a spoiler-free review and rating before we take a break, and then we're going to take a break and we're going to go into spoilers. So first of all, how are you? How's the gaming? How's everything? It's been a while since we've done one of these.
Yeah, it has. I've been doing pretty good. A lot of working, a lot of not gaming, unfortunately. But the gaming I have been doing is pretty great. Not to spoil our coverage here, but Indiana Jones is a pretty fun game. And, of course, on my main Destiny grind, doing a lot of solo Destiny, which isn't as fun as group content Destiny. And then I just check the Fortnite store every day to see if there's pretty skins that I need to buy or dances. That's kind of all I've been doing.
It's not a bad life, you know?
No, it's just collecting action figures in Fortnite. It's pretty awesome. What about you? Have you been?
I've not been gaming much at all. I got a little bit into gaming over the holiday break that I took from work. I took a week and a half off of work with the kids, and I played Indiana Jones. I played a lot of Call of Duty with my high school buds. People I've been playing Call of Duty with since we were 15. And that was a lot of fun. We were yelling. We were yelling not inappropriate things.
I was going to say, you need some slurs? Or
you need to behave. No slurs. You need to behave. You need to behave. Especially now, I think they're enforcing it now, which is good. They should have always been enforcing it. But sure. Activision, I think, is doing a better job now. But yeah, that and I started Yakuza Like a Dragon again, and I always get up to like the second part and then I give up because I'm tired and it's like a 100-hour game.
Yeah, that's that series has been one that I've always been pretty curious about, but I haven't dove in yet. I definitely will at some point. It's on the list of like when Brandon has time to play new games. This is one of them that I will be playing.
Well, when we're retired, we're gonna go nuts on all these games.
Oh my
god! And our motor skills won't work anymore. But we're gonna try.
We could just do Lorehound's runs of those games.
When you say Lorehound's run, this was a joke that became, we need to finish this game quickly so we could talk about the story, right? So we turn on easy mode for everything, and then we go through it. Did you do a Lorehound's run on this game?
I did, and I actually have some stuff to say about that. I think that does a disservice to this game,
yeah,
specifically. But we can get into that when we get into it, I guess.
Yeah, let's give our spoiler-free rating and review here. So what would you tell people about this game?
10,000 feet. This is a beautiful game visually. It is as close to being Indiana Jones as you could imagine from a game. And if I were to recommend this, or if I'm going to give my red light, green light here, it is mostly a green light with an extra, extra bright green light if you're a big fan of Indiana Jones. Because, man, is it so Indiana Jones. Like, mm-hmm. it is, like, it's better than movies about Indiana Jones have been for 40 years or whatever.
It's true. The first three Indiana Jones movies are great. After that, really falls off. They try to bring him back a couple times, and you're like, man, Harrison Ford is not doing it like he used to. And they keep trying to pass the torch, and nobody's really capturing it, but they keep insisting that we're going to pass the torch to somebody else.
And you just can't, because Harrison Ford is just, his face and just his mannerisms, and you can't replace it. He's a one-of-a-kind man.
It's true. And here they do use his face for this entire game, which
it's
I think is
his whole
important.
Face. And Troy Baker does such a good understated Harrison Ford. It's great. Yeah. I think I heard of Harrison Ford doing commentary on it. Like, you don't need AI to do this. Look at the art Troy Baker did by capturing my essence. You don't need a robot. You can just get Troy Baker.
Right.
Which
you know, it's funny because I don't know if you went at all into like the production of this, but they did a lot of auditions for this because obviously they want to nail the indie voice, and they auditioned Troy Baker, and all the people who were on like the Machine Games developer side said, we want Troy Baker. Troy Baker is nailing this. We want him to do it. And Todd Howard was like, under no circumstances can it be Troy Baker. I'm not into him. I don't think this is a good idea. He's a fad, you know, this whole thing. I don't know if he said fad, but he was not into it. And then he heard the audition and said, all right. And he goes up to him and he goes, we're putting a lot of faith in you. And Troy Baker's like, but apparently after the first day, Todd Howard went up to him and was like, you know, we made the right call. So, it's Todd Howard, you know, be nicer to people, Todd Howard.
What a weirdo.
But yeah, anyway.
I couldn't imagine anyone doing a better job short of like, because he nails the impression, and B, it's still acting. Like, he's not just like, you know, copying the way that Harrison Ford sounds. Like,
yeah,
everything is there. Like, he's
kind of
he's
acts in costume, right? And it's like a vocal costume.
Yeah. And he's Joel, right?
He is Joel in the last
games. Like an insanely different voice, like mannerisms, everything. Like, he's an incredible voice actor that was kind of off of my radar, honestly, until I've been Lorehounds Gaming, where I've played these two games I might not have played. But yeah, like he's great. No complaints. Yeah. If I see Troy Baker in the future, I'm like, cool, this guy, we're in good hands.
Right. And I am going to be making you play The Last of Us Part 2 next so that we can talk about it around the time The Last of Us Season 2 comes out.
Very excited about it. It's been installed on my M.2 drive on my PlayStation this whole time, and I've just been ready to play it.
Very nice.
So very excited.
It's a great game. It's very sad, but we're not talking about sad games today. We're talking action. We're here for action. And I too am giving this a green light. And I think I would say the same thing as you. Like, if you want Indiana Jones, this is essentially an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, like, a very
this
long
is
one.
Just you turn this down to easy and you are playing an interactive movie for Indiana Jones. For me, I'm going to say I lowered the difficulty of the combat to easy, mm-hmm. but I kept the difficulty of the puzzles on normal. Because you can do that differently in this game, which I think is great. More accessibility features are better. I was playing the story and I was like, I just want to be a badass Indiana Jones. I don't want to be struggling through these battles the whole time. I have some things to say about certain late game battles. But other than that, like, I think that this game really sings. And the reason I think it sings is because you have this really delicate, intricate balance of gameplay and cutscene. You are constantly going from, I'm picking up this item and I pick up the item and all of a sudden I'm in a cutscene where Troy Baker as Indiana Jones is explaining this historical artifact to his companion. And we are in an Indiana Jones movie. And this is a game where a lot of people were concerned when it was announced that it was going to be first person. They said, you know, if you're doing this movie based on an iconic character, if you're doing a game rather based on an iconic character, how is it that I'm not going to see the character most of the time?
Yeah.
And honestly, I think it was perfect this way. I feel like I'm being Indy in a way that I don't think I would if I were third person.
Yeah, they do. It is for the job of switching between first person and third person for the cutscenes works surprisingly well. Like, you'd think it would be a little jarring to jump from being inside of Indy's head to, you know, on the outside, but no, it meshes perfectly. And in those moments where you're, you know, you're putting the hat on and you're seeing it in first person, or you're putting your dukes up or whatever, you really feel like Indy. Like, I think they nailed the way that feels. And I think a third person game would have been fine if you wanted to do more of a God of War route where, like, it's a one-er shot the whole time that seamlessly flows between cutscenes and action. But I'm with you where I like the way that this worked, because it does just feel like you're playing like a very competent game, and then boom, you're clicking into a movie that still feels interactive.
Right. And I think it would be a pain in the ass to do the puzzles in third person, to be honest with you. You're trying to closely examine things, and I just don't think it works as well if it's third person. Also, I think I just appreciate the scenery more when it's a first-person game.
I do, for sure.
We got into this, and I do blame PlayStation for this. We got into this idea of, like, every cinematic movie has to be, like, a third-person action-adventure. And I don't think that's true. And I think this game, Machine Games really proved that this can be a more versatile genre than that. And I appreciate that.
And I think it works, too, because of how, this is going to sound bad, how slow the game is. I think it works really well in first person, because, like, you're doing things like reading a journal, or you know, you're flipping things over, you're looking at stuff in your hands, it's delicate and intricate, some of the things you're doing, which I think works really well in first person. You're looking around at walls for different things you can whip or whatever, and I think that works really well in those moments. And then whenever it wants to do fun cut scenes and stuff, it kicks out and then you can see Harrison Ford's glorious face. It's great.
Yeah. Can I ask you, what's your background on Indiana Jones in general?
I've never been like super Egypt guy or whatever, you know, like, so Indiana Jones never quite appealed to me in a big way, but I have always just enjoyed catching the movie. Like, Indiana Jones for me was very much it's on TNT or whatever back when I was a kid. It was never like appointment movie for me, but if it was on, I would definitely watch it. My Harrison Ford is Han Solo, obviously, but, you know, a lot of people say Harrison Ford is Indy. But not as much for me. What about you?
I was shown them by my grandpa when I was a kid. I was not super into them, but I liked them. And then back a few years ago, I was doing my previous career was audio engineering, mostly live sound. And I was hired to screen outdoors the Temple of Doom. And I watched it on the lawn while I'm doing sound for it. It's, you know, it's easy to do sound for a movie. Once you get it set, you're done. So you just sit there. And I'm like, damn, this holds up. This is a great movie. and so that kind of got me hype on Indiana Jones for a while. But I'm not, again, like I'm like you, I'm not a super fan. I just really enjoy it when it's on.
Yeah.
And but when I heard about this game, I was like, that sounds like it could be really good or really bad. And luckily, it was really good. And I'm just excited we're here. We're back.
We're back
in the era of licensed games, except it's good this time.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like it's incredible because this could have been such an easy cash grab or whatever, aside from it just being on Game Pass and almost no one is buying it like that. Mm-hmm. They're playing it through Game Pass, but yeah, like they could have phoned it in and they super didn't.
Yeah. And also with the recent track record of Bethesda, they are just not hidden lately. They have had some real duds the last few years. I mean, Redfall was horrendous. I'm just going to say it. It was not a good game. Deathloop was good. Deathloop was a legitimately good game. I played a lot of that. But Ghostwire Tokyo, poorly reviewed. Starfield got middling reviews. I think they really needed a big win, and this was one. This was one. I know people still want the Wolfenstein series back, which is what Machine Games is mostly known for. They really, the only common thing between their games is like killing Nazis.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing that is the common denominator between these games. But
their bread and butter is destroying fascism with your hands.
I never played the Wolfenstein games, and I don't know if you did.
No, I didn't. It's another one that I always wanted to get to. But I mean, like, it's kind of the World War II thing where, I don't know if you've heard my coverage of Master of the Air, but I'm sort of like half and half with World War II where I'm like, this is okay. But... So it's never been where I want to hang out in World War II. Yeah.
I getcha. It gets a little overplayed.
It does.
But so I've never played those. I've been meaning to go back to them because after this, I'm like, man, this studio is great. I gotta go check out at least the better reviewed one for
sure.
Wolfenstein. But yeah, I would say definitely recommend this game. I don't have much else to say for it, spoiler free. So why don't we move on?
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back. And when we get back, we'll get into full spoilers.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
And we're back. So, Brandon, we've got full spoilers now. Can we talk a little bit about the gameplay and the different biomes?
Yes. First thing, because it's a vibe that covers the entirety of the game, your boy Gordy Hobb is back doing pitch perfect John Williams score. We talked about him last time on the Star Wars game.
Is the same guy?
Same guy. If you have to do John Williams sounds, then you call Gordy Hob because he crushes it every time. Like the way he weaves Indy's theme perfectly, and like you know when you're talking about Marion in the beginning of the game, like he'll fold her theme in, and all the themes and stuff he came up with this one were great. Like Gordy Hob, undisputed champion of making John Williams-esque soundtracks. But yes, what was your favorite of the biomes that we had here?
I'm honestly gonna say Vatican City because I am a sucker for like Catholic lore.
Yeah, that's why I was so excited about like the Nephilim and that whenever like I was like, wow, they're wrapping it. I mean, obviously in the movies, you know, you get the spooky religious iconography and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why I was so shocked that I think maybe because I've been like specifically like listening to podcasts that are about stuff like that and Noah's Ark. I've recently listened to like a long series about this Noah's Ark park in Kentucky. So it was just like a bunch of stuff that hit me all at once, like wow, this is all converging in a really interesting great circle. But yeah, the Vatican was great. Giza was really cool. Like I said, I'm not super Egypt boy. By Egypt, I just mean
no,
like,
me either.
You know, the tomb raiding in that way, specifically with the pyramids and all that. I've never been super into that. But it was like anytime you just got Nazis or, you know, the black shirts walking around and you can just kick the shit out of them, it is kind of rad.
It is rad. It's nice to beat up the Nazis, I gotta say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun, and you can just pick anything up and kick the shit out of Nazis, and it's a lot of, like, it's great.
Right, like, it was the last war where there was, like, a clear bad guy, and you don't have to feel badly about, like, what if he has a family at home? It's like, okay, he's a Nazi, though.
Exactly. Yeah, like, it's why there's so many Nazis and zombies in video games, is because, oh, these are fine to destroy with my bare hands.
Right. Before we go into more detail on the biomes, because I guess we could talk about those while we talk about the plot. We talked about the cinematics and whatnot. The breakable weapons. Are you a breakable weapon guy? I have very mixed feelings on them.
I think if this game didn't have so many weapons laying around everywhere, the breakable weapons would have been more of a problem. But, I mean, you can pick up anything and kick the shit out of somebody with it. So like it really wasn't bad. And I think partially doing easy combat made it a lot less of an issue because you just break something, you fight this stupid AI, and then you just go find something else and continue ass kicking. I was very bad at stealth. I was very bad at stealth for this game. So most of my fights went like I was BJ Blazkowicz in Wolfenstein.
Oh, just, really?
Just destroying everyone. Yeah,
I was stealthing everywhere. I loved, you know what was my favorite thing to do is I would pick up a long gun and then immediately put it into melee mode.
Yeah.
And just go behind every Nazi and just, I barely ever fired a gun.
It was always
when
my
I
intention.
Did, it was always a problem.
Yeah. It was always my intention to go stealth, and then I would just get caught, and then I guess I'm kicking everyone's ass in this whole room. Almost every time that's the way it went down, but very few like successful stealth attempts for me. I think this game I was perhaps for me personally hurt a little bit by the Lorehounds run. I think one day in that mythical period of time where I have time to play video games, I think this is going to be a game that ages very well because visually it's going to look better. It's going to look even better. It's going to scale on systems in the future and look gorgeous. But also, if you kick everything up difficulty wise, I think that it would be a lot better personally. It would feel more rewarding. There is something to be said about the power fantasy of just like, you know, who gives a shit, go in there, guns a blazing, swinging fists. And, you know, getting a little bit more help for the puzzles and whatnot. But I think it would be, it would have, a 25 hour, you know, playthrough with some work. I think this game is good enough to where that would probably be a better experience. Sorry to cut off onto that little diversion. But yeah,
I think that's right though. I mean, I did enjoy, I think because I did take more time, I didn't feel that way as much because I did play this over a break. I don't know my exact hour count, but at least for the first few biomes, I did take my time. It was really when I got to Sukhothai that I started to be like, all right, wrap the plot up. So then I started like, you know, rushing through things a little bit more. But mostly I was just, I mean, part of it was I played it before you, so I had more time to do this.
Right.
But though I did give you fair warning. In fairness. And so I did give it time. I did do a lot of exploration. I didn't really do any side quests because they didn't really interest me. I didn't really feel the need to do any of the side quests.
I only accidentally did some side quests. You
That's
know,
I true. Followed, I did one or two.
Yeah. I followed a couple of rabbit trails because I was interested in the moment. But I have also heard good reporting on the side quests in that they're all in some way kind of tied into the main story. So they're apparently worth doing. So that's why I'm saying like in the future, whenever I come back to this game, I think there's going to be so much more there to dig into. But yeah, I am excited for perhaps 40-year-old Brandon to get to that in a couple of years.
Fair enough. Let's do the main plot synopsis here for the first part. After dreaming about the plot of Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones wakes up to find a giant man stealing an artifact from the college. He follows the clues to Vatican City, where he impersonates a priest and meets his new companion, Gina, who is looking for her sister. They solve puzzles in the Vatican and discover the church's store of artifacts guarded by the Nephilim Order of Giants. Nazi archaeologist Voss arrives, takes several pieces of the Great Circle, and flees with Indiana and Gina catching a ride.
Yes. Two things. I was really surprised to see the late, great Tony Todd as... oh, no, what's his name? Locus.
It is Tony Todd. He is in this.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was Tony Todd. Oh.
Yeah. I think it's his last role as well.
It is. I'm looking at his Wikipedia now.
Yeah, like I was like shocked to see his face. Like, oh shit, it's Candyman. so I was just, and him as a giant was pretty wild as well. That, and I'll say a controversial thing to say, but what an incredible Nazi that Voss is.
yeah.
What a great character.
You know, I hadn't watched the Indiana Jones films in a while, so I'm like, is this guy from the movies?
He perfectly nails the vibe of like a cartoon villain. A cartoon in the you know, Indiana Jones is a giant cartoon sense. But yeah, like he was incredible. And yeah, they obviously have like a shared history because they're always going back and forth and they know each other. So you, it would make sense that they would be you'd have thought that he was in a previous movie or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, is there a history here? Did I miss something? And I went back and I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark after this, and he's not in it at all. But you do, I do love that they recreated the intro for the very beginning.
Yeah, that was really cool. And it took me a minute to realize what was happening. Until I think I saw Alfred Molina and I was like, oh shit, this is literally just the beginning.
People complained about his design too.
Why?
They were like, he doesn't look like Alfred Molina. I was like, he doesn't look like him now, but it looks like him then.
Yeah. Like if you compare it A to B, it's pretty on the nose. Like, yeah, I thought that was a really cool way to introduce the game.
Yeah. To do a tutorial, you get to use the whip for the first time.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Did you like using the whip? Did that make you feel like Indiana Jones? Because it made me feel like Indiana Jones.
I thought the whip was pretty cool. It is also very slow. It feel like as far as like a device, like a, you know, a video game device to get you from A to B, like a hook shot or something. Mm-hmm. It is maybe the slowest version of a thing for this. And I think it works because it's indie. I love how creaky and like he's always grunting and whining, trying to climb things because it's hard to do.
But then you're also like, but I'm using a freaking whip to climb a wall, and that's awesome.
It is rad. Yes. And the whip is also fun to use in combat too. I think the whip is an excellent, obviously you need the whip with indie.
You do.
And that whip crack sound is so good. I've been listening to a lot of like Drag Race music though. So that whip crack sound, it always gets me hype.
Fair enough.
I was actually, I didn't get your opinion on the breakable weapons. Did you have anything more to say about that?
I don't think so.
Before we get too far away.
I was a little bit frustrated for a minute because I couldn't repair my pistol, my revolver, but then I found like 7 more repair kits had a shortage again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know if that changes on the difficulty of the game, but I was never short on like food or repair kits or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was zero scarcity in this game. I was always at full health with my fortified food and stuff like that. So like everything, I was always fine.
So if you listener played on hard, you let us know if there's suddenly no food around. If he's starving. What do you think of Gina, his companion? You need Gina a beautiful companion, every Indiana Jones movie, right?
You certainly do. Gina was no exception to that rule. Gorgeous, very fun. Strambo, I like being called Strambo by her. That was fun.
Suited it for you.
Yeah, I like it. Anytime, like, you know, that's kind of like a way to call just someone weirdo, which I think works pretty well for indie. Yep. I found her very charming. It's the, you know, chasing the sister down. Her plot just it felt very, very simple. But I think she does really well for service for the story, and she's great with indie. Like, they've just got so much good chemistry. I like that she bullies him, and he's just kind of trying to be nice. It's good.
Yep. But that's also Indy's thing, too. Like, he also is, like, kind of curmudgeonly when you first meet him, and you have to work your way into him. And Troy Baker nails it, right? Like, he starts off really reserved with her, and then he's making jokes with her by the end, and he cares about her. It's great. I mean, you got to remember the first Indiana Jones movie where he literally just like leaves his companion tied up because he's like, this is inconvenient to my plan. So he can be a little cold too.
Yes, it is Harrison Ford.
Yep. Well, everyone arrives in Giza where Indiana finds the Idol of Ra before losing it to Voss. Gina rescues Indiana and the two travel to the Himalayas where they climb to a Nazi ship on top of a mountain. There, they find Gina's sister, Laura, frozen to death. They discover that Laura used one of the pieces of the Great Circle and spoke Adamic, accidentally teleporting them to the mountain. Indiana uses the stone to transport them to wartime Shanghai, where they escape on a plane and fly to Sukhothai. There, they recover another stone, but Gina and the stones are taken by Voss. I went through a lot there, because we're kind of just... I mean, you're in the Vatican for a while, and it feels like you're in Giza for a while, but everywhere else, kind of, you just fly right through.
Yeah, it's just globetrotting at this point. You're just moving throughout the world at a pretty fast clip, especially from in the Vatican and then in Giza, you feel kind of like based, and then from there, you're just like zooming throughout the whole world.
Yeah.
Sometimes literally on a plane. But
I do love when you get the plane and they go on the map and you have the dotted line and you're like, oh shit, we're doing the thing.
Yeah.
We're doing the thing.
Yeah.
That's what really I mean. Like, they really captured the vibe of the movies here.
Yeah. Yeah. The first time that, I think the first time I remember them doing that was on the blimp. When you're on the way to Giza, they kind of do that thing too, where it's the shot of the map and the red dotted line of where you're going. Yeah, that was really cool. I found the scene with Gina's sister Laura. I found that pretty affecting. I like the way that Indy handled that with her. Probably one of the more affecting, like, emotional beats of the game, I think.
Yeah, it was a good. I kind of foresaw it the whole, like, she actually was voluntarily working with the Nazis. But it was a good twist because you felt for the character anyway. And you feel and you see how a character who was so vehemently opposed to the Nazis was so hurt that her sister was like, anything for my science.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, you know, it did a good job of like humanizing Gina a little bit, because she kind of was just like a sort of a trope, a walking trope of, a hard hitting reporter or whatever, on a special mission to find my sister.
We talk about she's a very legitimate nun.
That's right. That's right. I forgot. Very fun. Very fun. Adamic, Adam. I thought that was cool. There being like, this is when you start to get into some of the religious iconography and stuff in a fun way, where they're tying together all the flood myths. Or is that? That's
closer at the ziggurat next.
Yeah, closer to the
ziggurat. Right now we have this great circle. You have all these Adamic words that can do different things. We don't ever get an answer to like what everything does, but we certainly get the answer to the teleporting one. That one just nopes you right out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like that it feels natural. Like, it feels like a natural progression where he's like kind of figuring it out at some point, and then he gets more confident with it later. The puzzles all feel like they're revealing something. You could learn more about things by like picking up papers and reading all about like different artifacts and how they were significant. And I did read a lot of them. I didn't read all of them, but you can learn a lot just by picking things up.
Yeah, and I think the camera mechanic was really well done in this game in that way.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you take pictures of things, and then Indy himself will expound upon stuff and like sprinkle lore in. And I thought that was really well done. Anytime you're like, and you know, it'll do the flash up for the camera. Mm-hmm. So you can take a picture, and then Indy will talk about it.
Well, also the way really the camera does the hints too.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. You take one picture, it gives you a simple hit. Hint, you take another picture, it gives you a more specific hint, and it keeps getting more specific until it's giving you all the hints it wants to give you, and it's like, figure the fucking thing out already.
yeah I think I only had to like Google one specific puzzle, and it was back in the Vatican, and it was just because I didn't see the thing that was sitting over this like weird lump, but most of the puzzles I was pretty able to figure out without too much trouble.
Yeah, I hear you. They were mostly very doable. I don't remember. I may have looked up one, but you're right. They were all pretty much figure outable.
Yeah.
I think the coolest one was the one with like all the blood at the stages of the crucifixion.
Yeah.
That to me was like the coolest one.
Yeah, more of that Christian iconography.
You got me with it. You know, you just got me with it. You know, yeah, it sucks, but I'll watch the Da Vinci Code once in a while.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Like, it's fun. It's fun stuff. You know, the new Pope, the young Pope, very good shows, all that kind of stuff. I just was going to watch Conclave this week. I'm going to finally watch that. Okay. So we got plenty of nice Catholic lore around.
the lore of Catholicism is just pretty
I'm into
rad.
The lore.
Yeah,
I'm here for the lore.
You are a lore hound.
That is the name of this podcast. What else do we have here? Did you have out of these three, did any of these other ones interest you? The Sukhothai one, they had that cool water puzzle that you had to sort of get the water to move from one side
that
to
was
the other.
Neat. I think that they did a good job with all of these puzzles feeling different as well. Mm-hmm. I think that back in the Vatican, I think the lava puzzle was probably the coolest.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you got the shield and whatnot, but yeah. None of the puzzles in this specific one, except for the water puzzle are screaming out to me. The plane was really cool. And the, you know, the shooting, you could shoot the tail off of your plane, by the way. Whoops.
Oh, don't do that. Did you enjoy the snake battle? The giant basilisk, basically?
Yeah, all the snake shit was really fun in this. I think they did it. They did just enough to where it wasn't like, like a too cute. They didn't get too cute with the snakes.
I don't know. I did get real spooked when I saw like all the snake skins on the walls.
Yeah.
I mean, the design was fantastic. Amazing.
Yes, it was. But yeah, like Indy has his history of not of be, the, basically the only thing he's afraid of is snakes. So mm-hmm. like I love that they use that. And apparently like in the beginning level, the tutorial, if you go through the waterfall, there's a little snake cameo where it he freaks out about one tiny little snake. but yeah, him and I can't remember the lady's name, but she loved snakes. And like the part where like she's doing some exposition with Gina and Indy has to feed the snake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
that was done really well.
That was good too. That was good too. Did you enjoy his student who was like leading you through that? And
yeah,
and she was working with the Nazis and she was terrible in the end.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And she was just so salty that he didn't remember her. I thought she was fun.
So many students, and also like you picked one of the hardest fields to get into and you're so mad that you're not getting into it.
Yeah, but I thought that was pretty well done, her just kicking him, her doing the Scar and Mufasa kicking him into the temple or whatever.
Yep.
Very cool. Yeah, I wouldn't have minded more of her as well. But yeah.
Yeah. All the side characters were really well done in this, I thought.
Yeah, and they all felt really authentically indie too.
Although I didn't really care about the blonde Nazi guy. He was kind of a nobody.
It's hard though when you put him next to Voss, because Voss is so good.
Right. You're just like, let me just fight Voss.
Yeah, the blonde guy's only thing is that he was just like super extra, you know, in love with Hitler. That's kind of his whole thing.
That's his whole thing. It's quite a thing to be.
Yeah, it's striking, but not quite as striking as Voss, who is wonderful. I love his karate.
Let's get to the karate. Karate, Brandon.
Yeah.
Indiana teams up with Locust, one of the Nephilim, to attack the Nazi camp at the Ziggurat of Ur. After rescuing Gina, they find Noah's Ark, which was the original home of the Great Circle. Voss activates the Great Circle and it turns on him. Well, the world floods around them. Indiana beats Voss, and Locust stops the destruction by teleporting the Ark away. Gina and Indiana part ways. And this is where I have to sing the Dayman song from Always Sunny. He's a master of karate and friendship for everyone.
Yeah, man, Voss pulling out that he's a master of the Japanese art of karate was so good. So goofy.
Yeah,
in a just purely awesome way. And I like how like he was almost he was doing like flying like scorpion kicks and shit whenever you're fighting him. Like I don't know, I loved all of that. And he almost had like the same fighting mechanics as the giants did. Because all the giants kind of fought the same. It was like the God of War ogres.
Yep.
Where it's like, oh, this is the same fight with a different skin on it. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same with Voss, but he was, doing karate.
Well, I had to cheese this fight because I couldn't beat him.
Really?
It was, for some reason, I could not get his rhythm down. And then I found out that if you just run away from him, he will whip you back and it does no damage to you.
Oh.
And so I would just get three hits in, run away, have him whip me back, get three hits in, run away, repeat.
There you go.
Repeat.
Well, that works.
I cheesed it.
I was very salty that he had the whip, but it was cool. It was cool that he did. Locust, teaming up with you was was a big moment. I thought that was pretty rad.
Mm-hmm.
All of this Noah's Ark shit was really cool to me. How like they tied in all of the world's flood myths being the same thing, being basically the same story or different facets of the same story. I thought that was really neat.
And the idea that he had to use the stones to go gather up all the animals.
Yeah.
The whole thing. That was cool.
really, like, and it's simple, you know, it's not too crazy of an idea. It's Noah's Ark is a thing that everyone knows about. Even if you didn't grow up religious, it's like such a fundamental story.
Just add some teleportation and you're done.
Yeah, straight up. And a crazy laser and a giant. But yeah, I loved all that. The way that the flood started was really cool and a little chilling, where like it looked like nothing happened at first. And then, you know, you just get the little droplets of rain,
right,
and then all hell breaks loose and it's flooding.
Right.
And I thought the arc actually looked really cool. And on looks, this game does such a good job of just making all of the biomes and all of the like skyboxes and stuff just look so cool. There's one specific part back in the Vatican where you're climbing on the roofs and stuff, and it's nighttime and you're looking out over the city, and it's incredible. And sort of the same thing towards the end here with the arc. I think this game is going to be, I kind of alluded to it before, but it's going to scale really well on newer hardware. And this is going to be a game that looks great and looks better and better the farther out we get, kind of. I think...
Don't worry, yeah, we'll buy it more. We'll buy it 5 more times. We'll get it on our smart fridges. Todd Howard exactly. will see to it.
Exactly. But with the excellent like facial capture and music and visuals, I think this is going to be one that we're really gonna it's a great addition to your library. But yeah, the visuals were great here with the flood and yeah. the fight was fun.
I thought it was horse shit. I hated it. I hated the fight. I just have to say it. I love this game. I hate the fight. And I thought it was completely underwhelming to have the final battle of this like insane story with like super powered rocks be literally just fist fighting an old
man. Just a fist fight. Yeah. Did you do any of the underground like fighting pits?
No.
Okay. I did a bunch of those. So maybe that I was poised a little better to do the, to do the fight. It was a hard fight. I think I had to start it over a couple of times, but
I think it took me like 2 hours to like finally, like I was so bad. Damn. I ended up looking up on Reddit how to cheese it, and they were like, oh, just run away.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it. God damn it. I hate this stupid fight.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely could have done something a little bigger with that.
Just like incorporate the stones in some way, you know?
Yeah. You could beef Voss up and maybe like turn him into like a big monster or something that you got to fight. I mean, that's such a video game thing though.
Yeah. I think teleport us to like in the middle of the sky, and then we're like punching each other in the sky and make it a quick time event, and then teleport us back to the arc. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
do something like that. Just not like standing on the deck and just like old man fight.
Yeah, or the whip thing where you're both sort of hanging over like a gangplank and kicking each other.
Yeah.
That was a little kinda silly.
But overall great game. I'm going to complain about the last fight.
For sure. Yeah,
I came here to complain about it. Did you get the secret ending? Cuz I didn't.
I didn't either, but I did Google it.
Yeah, so there's a secret ending. Apparently, from Wikipedia, Indiana discovers a hidden mural showing more locations of the Great Circle pointing at the South Pole. And there's footprints, so probably Locust survived.
Yeah, which is great. I like Locust a lot.
He deserved it.
Yeah, yeah. He just wanted to take care of his shit, and he didn't want to be bothered. Poor guy.
He's like, I got my job. I'm doing it.
Yeah, and Tony Todd did such a good job, especially there at the end whenever like he's really super not wanting this flood to happen, and he's just sort of like warning everyone quietly. Mm-hmm. Just such a good job of acting there, of just the horror of it all, of knowing what was going to happen, especially knowing that he's going to have to grab this fucking mast and or the, what do you call the steering wheel on a boat?
There's no way of knowing.
You know, you're right. But yeah, it looked like it was really painful for him to have to use that. So, yeah. And that, I think Voss did have a pretty cool death with that laser beam.
That would be the helm.
Helm mast is what I said, and that was very wrong. Mast is where the sail goes.
And we met playing Sea of Thieves, so you should know that.
You're right. I should know that too. I didn't know anything about that. I just was
running around. We just yelled. That was honestly, though, that was the best time I ever had playing Sea of Thieves. Was we were all just like getting fake drunk and with the grog and playing and
throwing up together.
Maybe we should do a Sea of Thieves podcast one day.
That'd be cool. I wouldn't mind, especially since there's so much more to the game now.
Yeah. I haven't played it like mostly since then.
Oh, I haven't played it either, but I've just, you know, had my ear to the ground a little bit, and there's a there's a couple people I know that are very into the game. So, but apparently it's better now than ever, which is happening a lot with games.
Yeah.
It used to be like you wanted to play a game right away, but man, wait. If there's a game that you want, wait, because it's just going to get better with time.
I know. Especially like I was eyeing Civ 7. I like Civ 6 a lot.
Yeah.
And the Civ 7 reviews are like, just don't buy it right now. Like, it's just broken in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, then I'll just wait till it's on sale, and then it'll probably be better by then anyway.
Absolutely. It definitely will be. What Baldur's Gate 3 is one that I desperately have been wanting to play, because it's just everything about it is just straight up for me. But, you know, the longer I wait, apparently the better it's going to be, because they even just now released a patch for it. So yeah,
I've tried playing it several times. I played like 20 hours of it, but I just every time I try to play it, I need a brain off game at night if I'm gonna play something.
Yeah,
and it's just such a brain on game.
Yeah, very much so.
So I think we should do that one eventually, but that is like a long term project.
Yeah, because I'm gonna devote like 80 hours to that game at the very least.
Yep.
And also the combat is so slow because it's D&D combat. So
yeah. Whew. Well, I had fun tonight, Brandon. Did you have fun?
I did. I am excited to play this game in the future. I had fun playing it in the present. Well, in the past now. But what a cool little game that caught me completely off guard. I did not expect it to be as cool as it was.
Agreed. Agreed. I expected it to be pretty good because it's, you know, Bethesda at least is always pretty good. Mm-hmm. But it was great. It was a great game, and that surprised me.
Oh, I did see that they're working on DLC for it.
Oh, are they?
Yes, which surprised me. So maybe we might actually find some more going on with Locus.
We'll get the great cool square.
Yeah, the great rectangle. I would like that.
Very good. Any other closing thoughts on the game?
I don't think so. Indy's hat is sentient.
I know. It's so silly.
One thing I on the skill up review, very fun, good reviewer that I know. He pointed out how the lighting in this game is, and going along with the crazy good visuals, none of the lighting is realistic, but it is all so beautiful and cinematic. Especially like, you know, the sunset scenes and whatnot. I love that they stuck with keeping everything cinematic as opposed to drowning in reality.
I agree with that. I play video games to have fun and not to see more of real life.
Yeah, we definitely have. That's pretty much all I got. Play this game. Green light.
Yeah. Green light all the way. Get on your plane and fly it from Shanghai to Sukhothai and have a great time.
Yeah, big win for Xbox, by the way, who needs a win right now. I don't know if you know this, but my Xbox is right here in my hand, my phone.
Because everything's an Xbox now.
Everything's an Xbox. We didn't really get into the gaming news because it's been so long that it's hard to signal like a piece of news.
I'm also like, there are so many other podcasts that do gaming news all the time. And like, I was like, is it really worth it for us to say like some bullshit about something happening this week?
Nah, not about this week, but maybe big things. One of the big things being that Xbox is pretty much pivoting completely to being a more of a platform now rather than a box in your house.
Did something new happen like this week?
No. Other than
just the last few months, you mean?
Pretty much just the last few months. That and this being like one of the only Xbox wins in a minute that I can think of. big win with indie for Xbox. Of course, you're going to be able to play indie on your PlayStation sometime soon. How did you play it on your PC at all?
Not at all. I only played it on Xbox. How about you?
I played a little bit on PC. My PC is actually showing some age on it now, unfortunately, because obviously it's really well optimized for Xbox. It worked great on the Series X and Series S. And after some tweaking, finally, I got it to work pretty good on my PC. But yeah. And that's
I'm at the point where I'm probably going to, when I do, which probably won't be for a while, but when I do upgrade to things, I will probably go PlayStation next gen and PC, because honestly, Xbox is kind of signaling to me, stop buying our consoles.
Right.
And so I'm going to listen, you know, and if I'm going to be worried about having a digital game library follow me, I'd rather be in ecosystems that are for sure going to continue.
Yeah, I'm probably going to keep Xboxes because I have such a big backlog and, digital library in it already. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to always have a PlayStation and an Xbox, I think. I think it's just going to be a thing. Just because especially because the Series S is so small and I can take it with me when I travel.
Yeah, the Series S. Maybe I'll get the cheap version of the next
year. I would. That's what I would do, especially if you have games.
I just think that I'm not going to want to spend money on two consoles. And if I want to maximize the games I could play, I already have a PC. It'd be easier for me to just upgrade this.
Yeah.
And then have the PlayStation for those exclusive.
For sure. Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard thing to want to buy an Xbox going forward because it doesn't.
They're making it hard. I keep trying to let them, because I want. Here's the thing. I don't want a fanboy for either of them. I just want them to have competition with each other so that it drives the prices down. It makes them want to make better games, all that jazz. And I don't think Xbox has been a worthy competitor in a while.
Yeah. If they pivot to just making. I mean, because my thing is, I don't want to put a PC in my living room.
Yeah.
But I'm very comfortable with having an Xbox in my living room, which is basically just a gaming PC. So if that going forward is the plan for Xbox, then I'll still have them because it's still a convenient package all in one that's got all my games from going back years on it. But I mean, you can kind of do the same thing with PlayStation. And it's hard for me to switch to PlayStation because I like the Xbox controller better.
I prefer the Xbox controller.
That's the way you interface with the system. So, I mean, default, I'm always going to want to hold my Elite controllers. So, I don't know.
Well, it's been a fun month for the Lorehounds play. I shouldn't even say month because who knows when the fuck we'll be back. This is such a... We try, Brandon.
We're
two dads. And we cover a ton of TV on the Lorehounds. It's much easier for me to watch an hour of TV and then talk about it than it is for me to play a 20-hour game and then talk about it.
And then find time where I'm not either working and you're not recording four or five other podcasts that week. So
they're killing us this spring with all the releases. Severance, The Last of Us, Andor, and The Wheel of Time are all overlapping.
Yeah.
I am thankful we just got Wheel of Time screeners. So we're going to be ahead on that a little bit, but it's going to be hard. If we didn't get that, I think we'd be done for.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you guys do it. You are prolific.
We try. We try. We're lorific. real quick programming notes. Radioactive Ramblings is doing their Invincible Season 3 coverage. We've got Wool Shift Dust and the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast. Those are Alicia's feeds. I'm not sure what she's doing on them next, but she's got more coming after she's done with her Oscars coverage. Then we've got Properly Howard Movie Review. Just finished their A Few Good Film series where they do a bunch of movie reviews based on the movie A Few Good Men. It has to be a movie related to actors or production people with A Few Good Men. And then... on the main Lorehounds feed, Alicia is wrapping up her Oscars coverage. I'm not sure when this podcast is going to come out, so it might be wrapped up already. But wrapping up her Oscars coverage, and she's been doing a great job doing award season with all that. I don't watch movies, as we all know, and so Alicia tells me what movies I should watch. And we're doing Wheel of Time next on the main Lorehounds feed. On the Severance feed with Properly Howard, we are covering the four of us doing all of Severance. Season 2, and it's been a killer season, so everyone should be checking that out. and listening to the podcast. We're having a lot of laughs. It's always fun to talk to Steve and Anthony. We're always joking around and we're having a great time. I just am about to put out a Silmarillion story too with Aaron from Lord of the Rings. We are doing of the ruin of Beleriand and the fall of Fingolfin. And if you don't know what that means, join us and we'll tell you. All right. Quick thank yous. We have our Discord server boosters. Aaron K, Tiddler the Thriller, Dork of the Ninjas, Doove71, Athena A, Tina, Lestu, Nancy M, Ghost of Partition, Radioactive Richard, Lore Masters, Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E, Brian P, SC, Peter OH, Bettina W, Adam S, Nancy M, Doove71, Brian 8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Matthew M, Sarah M, DJ Miwa, Andre B, Kwang Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T, Alex V, Sub Zero, Aaron K, Dally V, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Lestu, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Neil F, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Kali S, Ilmariel, and Adrian. Thank you, everyone. It's always been fun. Brandon, can they catch you on the blue skies?
Yeah, you sure can. Anywhere I want you to find me, you can find me at Brandon the Bard. You can find me on my PlayStation soon playing The Last of Us 2.
Very nice.
Very
well,
excited.
We'll see you for The Last of Us. The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening. The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. In one podcast, called The Lorehounds by Some, a weekly recap with tons of analysis, two Wheel of Time superfans will lead you through a world of powerful magic, tricky prophecies, and cutthroat politics. Join me, John, and my co-host Alicia for weekly coverage of Season 3 by searching your podcast app for The Lorehounds. Dovyandi Setova Segain. It's time to roll the dice.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.